Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this December the 18th, 1 week from Christmas Day. And I'm Tim Wildman, along with Walker Wildman here on American Family Radio. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. I'm sitting in for Ed Vitagliano today. He's out on vacation.
You are in his chair.
I am.
Is that what you mean by sitting in for?
That's correct.
Because you're normally on the program.
Yeah, I'm normally on the program, but he asked me to kind of fill his seat while he's out.
Basically, you're going to take the place of two people just with your own self.
Yes, I identify myself as Ed Vitagliano,
okay.
But I was born as Walker Wildman. So
I probably need to stop right there because I'm losing it. I'm losing your trail of logic there. Well, what are we doing on Facebook before we introduce?
Well, my trail of logic was people self-identify as
duly noted
what they're not, and so I can do the same.
Duly noted. You self-identify as Walker Wildman and Ed Vitagliano today.
That's right.
That's your point.
But exactly. Tomorrow, if you identify as Sandy Rios, there will likely be discussions.
Then we're going to have a problem. Then we're going to have a problem, Walker.
There you go.
Tell you right there.
Well, we'll move on to Facebook.
Okay.
So we're live streaming on the Today's Issues Facebook page. You can go to Today's Issues page and watch the show. And also, we'll be posting all the One News Now articles, onenewsnow.com articles that we discuss here today. So you can read more about the show on our Facebook page.
Fred Jackson, news director for American Family Radio News and our resident Canadian import, is with us this morning. Good morning, Fred.
Yes, I identify as a Canadian.
Well, that would be an accurate identification, though.
That's right. Hey, listen, I am a thankful individual today because I was not scheduled to travel through Atlanta yesterday.
That's good.
Like, the Atlanta airport, probably folks have heard about the big problem they had there yesterday up until midnight last night. I did not realize there's 200,000 people that pass through that airport every day.
Mm-hmm.
For passengers numbers, it's the busiest airport in the world.
And we're talking over 2,000 flights a day. And they had some kind of power disruption. I'm not clear on the issue yet. Someone said there was a fire, obviously.
An underground fire is what I read.
Yeah.
Very vulnerable spot, obviously. But things went haywire around noon yesterday, just afternoon, and they didn't get the power back until early this morning. So
over the entire airport. Come back terminal by terminal?
Well, bits and pieces.
After 6 hours?
Time. Yeah.
Okay.
But the flights that were – people don't understand the chaos that this creates. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have flights being held all across the country from going to Atlanta during this.
Diverted.
Right. And other places. And so you've got all those aircraft on the ground in Atlanta. And then hundreds of aircraft elsewhere that are supposed to go through Atlanta, and they couldn't.
Mm.
So even this morning, even though the power's been back on for 9-10 hours, even this morning there's hundreds of cancellations of flights.
Yeah.
And these are people, most of the colleges, schools all got out last Friday. So there were bunches of people traveling this week, and they've been messed up. It will take days for people to get back. There's still people camped out in the airport. They don't know because here's the other problem. The flights as we go through this week are already all booked up.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And
they'll have to bring in more airplanes. Or I tell you what, for me, forget all that. I'm going out and get me a car.
They may be out of rental cars.
Oh.
I could see them being out
real
of rental
quick.
Cars.
Well, then I'd carjack.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm getting me a
call
car
a taxi.
One way or another.
Right.
But I don't advocate carjacking, folks. Don't email me.
Except in worst case scenarios.
In case you're a desperate man.
Yeah.
In which case, you might consider. Now, I'd be nice to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Just ask them, please get out of your car and let me have it. That didn't.
Yeah.
Don't email me. Go ahead.
But can you imagine the other aspect is the luggage?
Oh, I forgot about that. Now, we're talking. Folks got to put this in perspective here if you can. I wasn't there, obviously, but I've been through the airport. I've spent roughly 5% of my life in the Atlanta airport. I would 3 to 5% of my life has been spent in the Atlanta airport, so I'm familiar with it. But you got to remember here, if the power's completely off, mm-hmm. true?
Mm-hmm.
Think of everything that's down. The power's completely off, okay? Then you got the all the systems for the airlines are down.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you don't have, do you have generators somewhere like that?
Not enough to keep things going.
Okay. Anyway, that's probably silly. You're probably right. Generators for that. Anyway, then you've got all the food places are out.
Yeah.
You can't charge your phone or your
computer.
Computer, mm-hmm. because no power.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got people, I guess the subway underneath the airport is not working.
They were right. walking. Have you been to the Atlanta airport? It's like must be a mile and a half between yeah. terminals.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you don't have that subway system going underneath the airport, which takes you from terminal to terminal,
mm-hmm.
and then elevators, I guess, aren't working. Maybe they got stuck. I
Escalators
don't know.
Not working.
Right.
And this is for hours.
Hours.
Mm-hmm. Hours. And then you've got people who are, you know, I don't know. That's a movie right there. That's a, if you're inside the Atlanta airport and this happens to you, this is Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
There was one young lady interviewed during the course of the event yesterday, and she said she spent 6 hours sitting on an airplane on the tarmac, you know, waiting to get back in the terminal.
Right.
There was no water.
6 hours in an airplane?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we.
Because you couldn't go to the terminal because they couldn't get you out.
That's right.
Well, and listen to this. The machine that they roll up to deplane you.
Yes.
The kind of the
yeah, I know what you're talking
walkway
about. Yeah.
Yeah. is run off of electricity.
Yes.
So you can't they can't control that to get it up to the door.
Nope.
Let me tell you what, some people right there would be going crazy almost. You
mm-hmm.
I gotta tell you know, yeah. I've been on an airplane, I guess the most I've ever been quote, stuck on an airplane is like 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you get stuck on an airplane, you start to, after a couple hours, you start to hallucinate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm saying. You start, yep. not hallucinate, but you start to
get little, irritable.
You still get, yeah. people get irritable. They don't have food.
Impatient.
You want some breath. You want some fresh air. You want off this airplane.
And have to use the washroom.
Exactly. Yeah. So. There's a lot to contend with. But you know what? This somebody said to me earlier at a meeting we were having here. They said, you know, this is what would happen if you had an EM.
Yeah, that's right. EMP.
What do you call it?
Electromagnetic pulse.
Okay. Attack.
Mm-hmm.
Which I know a lot of people have poo-pooed and said that it couldn't happen. But that's when all the electricity goes out because some actor hostile to the U.S. fires a weapon into the air over the continental United States, and it releases a nuclear warhead.
Mm-hmm.
And that potentially causes all your electrical systems to go down. Have I basically got that right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Walker?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah the when the...
What if North Korea wanted to do that? Could they do that?
Well, theoretically they could, yes. They would most likely have a container ship off the U.S. coast.
Okay.
Fire the missile, then... Are the way it's looking, they got these ICBMs that they can launch from North Korea, and it would detonate over probably, most likely a big city is where they would probably like to do. And that pulse, what it would do is it would fry the electric
grid?
Basically.
Like my cell phone.
Circuit boards. There are mm-hmm. circuit boards inside each of these electronic things, and it would fry the board, destroy it.
So that's not science fiction. That could really happen.
No, it could happen. And there's been a congressional kind of study on this, mm-hmm. no longer anymore, but they did research as to what the results would be. And the results
How
are,
widespread would it be? Let's say if you, I guess it depends on where you.
Depends on where they detonate it. I don't think they can hit the entire continental U.S. with one missile. They would most likely aim for a big city.
Is that a temporary thing?
You're talking years
yeah.
of recovery.
If that did happen,
yeah.
to get the hardware back.
To get everything back up running.
Yeah.
So If it just hit a big city, when I say just, it would still be awful. Mm-hmm. People would there would be casualties. But if it hit a big city, at least other cities, the rest of the U.S. could help out that city.
Mm-hmm. But hold on just a minute. I'm talking about not a missile hitting a city and then exploding. I'm talking about this.
Yeah.
Where it goes up into the atmosphere or stratosphere or wherever that missile goes, then explodes, and the fallout.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I'm thinking, but from what I've read, it's more likely that it's a regional. It hits a region of the U.S. instead of all 50 states.
Well, as you can see here, something like that happened.
Oh,
the regional, the quote regional impact of what happened at the Atlanta airport yesterday was national,
exactly.
If not international,
yeah.
In scope. But that was, it was horrifying for those people who were stuck there for 6-8 hours or 12 hours. And you, as you say, Fred, let's say that you missed your flight yesterday because this happened,
mm-hmm.
which it's nobody's fault per se. I mean, you mm-hmm. can complain if you want to, but it was a fire
mm-hmm.
that caused this. And you say, well, okay, I missed my flight. I want to schedule the flight for tomorrow at 8 o'clock, meaning today, yesterday. Mm-hmm. And they say, I'm sorry, sir, that flight's full.
Mm-hmm.
Well, give me the flight at 12. I'm sorry, sir, that flight's full. You know what I'm saying? This thing could go on.
It's the busiest week of the year.
Yeah.
I would encourage folks to, you need to be able to go a week without electricity if you had to. Whether it be a tornado, an ice storm, or something like this, because you need to be able to live a week without using third-party services to survive.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't go to the restaurant, you can't go to the grocery store, you can't go to the gas station, and you can't charge your phone.
What if your ATM doesn't work? What if ATMs don't work?
Right, you would need cash. Well, honestly, and I've heard Dan Celia, who's on our network, say this before, if something catastrophic like an EMP happens, you're not going to need cash.
No.
Cash is not valuable in a tragedy because people need food mm-hmm. before they need cash. So things like food and
water
are more
valuable. What you're saying is store up some basic necessities that if you couldn't have them for, I'd say more than a week.
Maybe a couple weeks.
I would say 2 weeks. That's what I have.
Yeah.
I have 2 weeks. No, we have... No, Allison, my wife, she bought a survival bucket.
Yeah, like long-term storage food mm-hmm. storage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's going to have to tell me what it is when it happens.
And how she's on top of that.
And how to cook it. But I left that. Our survival as a couple was dependent on her buying that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wasn't.
The other thing, make sure.
Do you have one of those things?
Make sure your we've talked about it. Mm-hmm. We make sure your barbecue is working.
You're going to come to my house then, Fred.
you're
going to be saying is, hey, Tim, I need to borrow some of that survival stuff. You got it because why? Because I didn't get my own.
When we were living on the West Coast, the warning was earthquakes, which is ever possible anywhere along the West Coast of the United States and Canada. And keep water, fresh water. You better have a lot of
that. Oh, that's an absolute.
I've
got a bunch of water.
Yeah.
So you got to have water, you're dead.
That's right.
Yeah.
Water first, because that's so essential. But also have a way to cook some food.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, your gas barbecue or whatever you have. Make sure that is working.
And you can also get this, and I got bottled water,
mm-hmm.
but you can also get this water converter thing now.
Mm-hmm.
You know about this, Walker?
Yeah, the filter.
Yeah, you get it out of a lake and turn it into fresh water, drinking water.
Got some water close by.
You got some? Do you have
Hey, listen, the other side story before we leave Atlanta is, you know, Chick-fil-A doesn't work on Sunday.
Right.
But as often Chick-fil-A does, they come to the rescue. So they have venues inside the airport. Of course, they weren't working. But what I understand is some of the Chick-fil-A restaurants around the Atlanta airport called some people in, they cooked some food, and they took it over to the airport.
Well, good for them.
That's what I'm understanding. So kudos on Chick-fil-A again.
Yeah.
Doing good things for folks who are in trouble.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. As Walker said earlier, if you want to watch the show on the internet, go to our Today's Issues Facebook page, and we're live video streaming the show there, and you can comment on the program. You can also access the stories that we're talking about here on Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next up, Fred.
Well, I'll tell you what, normally the week before Christmas is kind of a quiet week in Washington. You know, all the lawmakers go home. Not this year. This is going to be one of the busiest weeks that you can imagine in Washington, D.C. First of all, let's go first. President Trump has a major speech today. It's being called American First National Security Strategy. That's what he's going to unveil today. And there's going to be several things in there that he's going to talk about that's putting America first. It kind of goes with this whole theme going back to the election campaign. Sebastian Gorka, who worked as an advisor for the president, was on Fox and Friends this morning. He gave a little outline of some of the things that the president is going to talk about.
This is a very, very different national security strategy. Biggest thing about this document is that it is written by somebody, it's written by a team, it's going to be delivered by a man that loves this country. It actually uses that phrase. It talks about protecting the nation that we love. We're not here to apologize. We're not going on apology tours. We don't think America is the new imperial power that needs to be taken down a peg or two. And it talks truthfully about the threats we face. There's no political correctness in this document. We even have in there the phrase jihadi, okay? And we talk about Russia, we talk about China, we talk about the threat from illegal migration. So you haven't seen anything like this for 20, 25 years. This is a president who's making clear in this document that invading other people's countries and occupying them, that neoconservative kind of policy, is un-American. It's peace through strength, so returning to that golden era of the Reagan attitude to the military. And the other thing is America first, not America alone. We will stand by nations that share our Judeo-Christian values, whether it's Israel, whether it's Poland, whoever it is, but it's not going to be an adventurist American policy.
Right. One of the other things we understand is that he is certainly not going to talk about climate change the way that President Obama did as being a national security issue. You may remember in 2015, Obama declared climate change, quote, an urgent and growing threat to our national security. Well, that's not going to be there. You know, apparently the president will talk a bit about environmental stewardship as being important, but certainly nothing to the extent that Obama did in signing that Paris Climate Accord. Mm-hmm. And that Paris Climate Accord kind of represents the difference between Obama and Trump. Basically, that Paris Climate Accord, the United States signed on to this global plan, and we had obligations that we had to keep various countries elsewhere in the world happy. And also financial, part of the Paris Climate Accord was a huge financial investment by the United States into other countries. And so that provides an example. The other thing, and Gorka kind of alluded to it there a moment ago, another big change is going to be you're not going to hear a big emphasis on there must be a peace accord between Israel and the Palestinians as that being the major threat to peace in the Middle East. What President Trump apparently is going to say this afternoon, no, the biggest threat to peace in the Middle East is Islamic jihadism. And he's going to use those kinds of words. And that's phraseology that the former president, President Obama, just wouldn't use. He wouldn't put Islamic terrorism together, and he certainly wouldn't use the term jihadist. So all of that, he's just going to outline that today, and so that's number one on the agenda.
Where is he giving this speech?
It's going to be in Washington, D.C. I think it's 1 o'clock Central Time this afternoon.
Yeah, this is going to be a good speech to watch. You know, this has the potential to be a great week, probably one of the greatest weeks for President Trump in his year in office. Because you have this speech, which is, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, having a speech like this, if it outlines what you're talking about, Fred, that's good for our country. So you know, you'll have some people dissent, but for the most part, people will like it. And then he might sign the tax reform bill before this weekend. So if he
that's
can do these two things, you know, that's really good. His ratings.
I tell you, I know that, you know, if you believe the polls, the president's approval rating has been around 40, I guess you could say, 40% on average. But I tell you, if I'm a Democrat, I'm worried that the economy is going to continue to do well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because if the economy continues to do well, especially if this tax cut package or tax reform, however you want to refer to it, causes more growth in the business community in America, which people mm-hmm. are saying that it's going to be great
yeah.
in that regard, then a lot of people are going to start saying, yeah, well, you know, President Trump may have his idiosyncrasies, so to speak, or his bad personality traits, or I may not like his tweets on a regular basis. But I got to tell you, I like my job, and our business is expanding, and the economy is doing great, and people are buying homes. And I mean, there's a lot of things that have happened in the last year that are pretty much based on just optimistic views about President Trump and the economy.
Look at the stock market.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. I mean, how do you explain that? It's been going nuts for a year now.
Yeah.
Now, it's got to have some kind of, quote, correction coming up sometime, but still, right. It's been going. So, I mean, if you're a Democrat, you're worried the economy is going to continue to improve. President Trump and the Republicans are going to get credit for that. Therefore, they're going to be reelected, mm-hmm. and it's going to, and that hurts our agenda. That's what you've got
to
be worried
about.
To
your point, Fox and Friends yesterday morning had Congressman Tim Ryan from Ohio on, who is a Democrat. But he is voting against the tax bill, and they were trying to get him to explain why he's voting against the tax bill, which will provide tax cuts for virtually 90% of taxpayers. And he just kept waffling and saying it was horrible defense of voting against the tax bill. And he serves a very blue-collar district, a lot of manufacturers and stuff.
Who are going to benefit.
Yes, and if they get this done, and like you're saying, voters are benefiting from tax cuts, and you're a Democrat, right. I don't know how you can explain voting.
Well, maybe that's why he couldn't.
Right. And tax cuts, since when have tax cuts become a partisan issue?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll give you a little history to that, Walker. The Democrats frame things in rich versus poor. This is how they say that. The have and the have-nots.
Class warfare.
And so they benefited over the years by saying the Republicans are for tax cuts for the rich. That's how they'll say it, which is meant to rile up the people who are not rich against the, quote, rich because, you know, they should be paying more for their taxes or something, and they do pay more.
Mm-hmm.
They pay way more, people in the upper incomes. And that'll stay the same. It's still a progressive income tax scale, if you look at it. But that class warfare thing, that's the default position of the Democrat Party.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the reason they use that, mm-hmm. Fred, don't you think?
Oh, there's no...
It's worked for them. It's kind of like scaring...
Yeah.
It's scaring the old people.
Yeah.
During an election to say, you know, the Republicans are going to take away your Social Security.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's never going to happen. That's not even true, but they use that to get people to vote for Democrats.
Unfortunately, they have the mainstream media as their propaganda machine. Yeah.
They do the same thing with African Americans. They just say, hey, the Republicans are going to put you, back to slavery.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, or back to pre-civil rights. That's what the Republicans want to do. So you need to vote for Democrats to protect your... And it scares people, and a lot of people fall for it.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, if the economy takes off, and it looks like it will, even greater, that's the greatest worry for the Democrats. Because they can over... Trump can overcome these bad numbers if the economy takes off even more. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dr. Frank Turek of Cross Examine.
There's a new report out called Comedy and Tragedy: College Course Descriptions and What They Tell Us About Higher Education Today.
We'll also hear news headlines and analysis from Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, our spiritual heritage tours fill up each year several months in advance, and we've got the dates now for our 2018 trips. There are two tours. There's one to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington, and then there's a separate trip to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, where we'll explore early American history. Now, if you want information on these tours, simply go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com for all the information. Again, in June and September, you can go on one or you can go on both. They're back-to-back. We plan them that way. Again, June and September, Washington, D.C., and Williamsburg. For all the information, go to spiritualheritagetours.com, and I hope to see you on one of our spiritual heritage tours.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed had a problem. How do you feed thousands of stranded airline passengers at Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport with no electricity? Well, it turns out the answer was pretty simple. Just call Chick-fil-A. Normally, Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday, so employees can attend church and spend time with their families. But when the lights went out at the airport, the Atlanta-based chicken restaurant sprang into action. You know it's serious when Chick-fil-A works on a Sunday. And in the spirit of giving back to the community, the sandwiches were provided to passengers free of charge. That's why we love Chick-fil-A. It's their pleasure to serve folks who need a helping hand. You know, there's a verse in the Good Book about God's mercies being new every morning. Well, sometimes those mercies come in the form of a delicious chicken sandwich. Thanks, Chick-fil-A. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Let's talk about feminism. What kind of women's movement is it that reveals no indignation that little girls around the world, including in our country, are being subjected to female genital mutilation in compliance with Islamic law? Where has the feminist movement been down through the generations as Hollywood? Women's magazines like Cosmopolitan and Glamour, Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition, Playboy, or Victoria's Secret for that matter, have portrayed women on their front pages, in their advertisements, on stages and screens, simply as sexual playthings. And the feminists, silent until someone tries to limit abortions, of course. Where are you, feminists? Gloria Steinem, Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, where have you been on these issues? Why are even the next generation of so-called feminists silent as their sisters are dehumanized in such ways? Some kind of women's movement. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Merry Christmas from Today's Issues.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons?
All right, welcome back to today to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Fred Jackson, talking about what's happening in our world and in the news. Fred, what's next?
Well, just to finish off on our discussion on tax reform being voted on.
This week?
Probably tomorrow. You'll have a first vote on it. The Senate votes first. But there's been some talk in the news whether Senator John McCain, his health has not been that good. He's been treated for cancer and then I think an infection. But he was being treated at Walter Reed in D.C., but he's gone home to Arizona. I read a quote from his daughter this morning saying the senator is doing well, but he may not make it for the vote on tax reform. Now, as of Friday, Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio, he's now on board. He got what he wanted in a compromise, and so they can make the vote. The Republicans can make the vote without Senator McCain being there. But I understand he has told through his family, if they need me in Washington for that extra vote, I'll fly up there and I'll get in the Senate and I'll vote. So all of that is supposed to start happening tomorrow. So,
well, now also Senator Thad Cochran of Mississippi, a Republican, was in the hospital.
Apparently he is okay. I saw something late on Friday. He was being treated for something, but I think he's mobile.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Vice President Pence has delayed his trip to the Middle East to make sure that he is in Washington in case his vote is needed. So I think he's sticking around to make that happen.
Yeah. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. By the way, did you see where Dustin Hoffman?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure he's won several Academy Awards. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many. He's being accused of sexual misconduct.
Multiple times,
but also the young ladies are as young as 15, mm-hmm. I read. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw a little bit more on the weekend on that.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, this whole thing with sexual misconduct, abuse, rape, molestation, also you've got inappropriate sexual behavior, like groping and things. This thing has just exploded. Yeah, it's just exploded everywhere. Mm-hmm. And in politics and in Hollywood and in the business world,
mm-hmm.
we've seen this, this taken.
I was reading an article last week. One of the ramifications of all of this is offices talking about putting procedures in place about dating between single workers in the office place.
Between single workers?
Yeah. Like, say you got 20-year-old male working in an office at a bank or somewhere and a female that he works beside.
Right.
So there's a lot
What's wrong with that?
Well, these days they're saying – I read somewhere where they actually have a policy like a supervisor cannot date –
Well,
someone
I can understand. I guess I can. I don't know.
Here's the problem, and that this is what you're
a lot of
moving towards.
That, a lot of people meet that way.
Is these folks are not dating to get married. They're hooking up in their offices.
Mm.
That's the problem. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with dating someone, courting someone, with the goal of getting married to them a year later or whatever time frame you have.
Mm-hmm.
But these folks aren't really dating for that purpose. What they're hooking up in the office. That's what I guess they're trying to
Well, there's
fix.
That, but there's also the concern that, they go out a couple of times and they decide, we're going to break it off, and then there's tension.
Yeah,
but
I can understand that.
But also for guys, too, you stop and think about it. In the climate that we have right now, you want to be careful about, just reaching out, touch an arm of somebody.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of people turn into the monastery, I think.
Well,
what do you think, Walker?
Yeah.
Well, you've got to be careful. And you got to be careful what you
kinda,
say.
Kind of paranoid. I saw an article talking about how there's just paranoia
mm-hmm.
in Washington, D.C. over this.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of men out there. And we're finding every day there's revelations. Today it's Chris Matthews from CNBC or NBC. He's in trouble now. Evidently, NBC paid out a lot of money to the people who accused him. But it's a purging, a cleansing going on mm-hmm. because a lot of, it's the Me Too movement. And so a lot of men are being, nervous.
Yeah.
They're just going to come out. Some of them are, one fellow the other day even released a confession.
Yeah.
He was a celebrity. I didn't know who
he was.
Hadn't
even been accused of anything.
He was, but he said, I've done all these terrible things.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to get it all
That's
out
pretty
there
smart.
Before it showed up in the newspaper, But yeah, I guess overall, this is healthy overall because these liberal men who claim to be for champion women's causes
right.
are the ones. A lot of them are the ones having to come out now.
Yeah,
and say, well, they've been using their positions to sexually harass. Those Matt Lauer stories, that was stunning.
Yeah.
You got a button in your office at NBC.
To lock your door.
Where a woman comes in and you lock the door behind her. I mean, that's.
Right.
Think about that.
I mentioned when that story first broke, I said, there's no way that senior management at NBC does not know about this.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out they did know about this.
Yes.
In many instances.
There's a lawsuit or lawsuits waiting to happen right there,
Yeah,
NBC.
People are some of our viewers are commenting on Facebook wanting us to mention the Amtrak crash in Washington State.
When did that happen?
That just happened within the hour, I believe. So we don't know much about that, but from what I'm seeing, an Amtrak train derailed on a highway bridge outside of Seattle. It derailed and kind of fell onto the interstate below.
Oh, my.
So not sure if there's any passengers on there, if there's any injuries or casualties. Not sure yet. But an Amtrak train did derail in Washington State, and that's all we know right
that
now.
That happens about once a year or once every 2 years.
At least once a year.
Have you ever been on an Amtrak? I've not been on one.
No, I have not. I just read about them in the news. They just have, and that's Washington, Boston, New York corridor. There have been so many problems there.
Well, the infrastructure, from what I can see, is so outdated.
Yeah.
I mean, these trains are running from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and, you know, it's...
And Amtrak's a government agency, right? Aren't they run by the government? Subsidized?
Quasi-subsidized, yeah, but they're kind of like the post office. They wouldn't say that...
Well, I've wanted to take the whole family on a train trip. I just think, you know, to someplace across the country... Mm-hmm. But now that happens. Of course, you know, you could have a plane go down tomorrow and you'd say, well, I'm not going to fly anymore. So
right.
Yeah. I get, but, you know, you got to consider, you know, flying is the safest thing you can do in terms of transportation.
It is. It's so structured flying.
You know, thousands of flights around the globe every day without incident. It's amazing.
It is.
Safety record.
I tell you, if you're... If you want to get an idea of how many airplanes are in the air at any one time, there's a website, flightaware.com. Mm-hmm. You just go there and you say, oh my goodness, how do they ever manage this?
Yeah.
It's absolutely incredible.
It is.
What's going on?
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Check out our Today's Issues Facebook page. You can watch the show live there. Comment and access the stories that we discuss on American Family Radio. Hey, you heard the announcement maybe a few minutes ago, but we have set our dates for our spiritual heritage tours of 2018, and these tours fill up several months in advance, so I'm telling you now to find out information and get registered if you'd like to go. They are spiritual heritage tours, and there's two of them. One of them we go to, well, there's one in September, there's one in June, but we go to, there's two different trips we go to, but they're back-to-back, if that makes sense. We go to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, and then later in the week we go to Washington, D.C., and to George Washington's Mount Vernon. So it's a whole week if you want to do both tours, but you will get wall-to-wall American history, and you also get the Christian story there because Stephen McDowell, the Providence Foundation, joins us to lecture and talk along the way and answer questions. We have a lot of fun. It's a great vacation with a purpose. If you'd like to join us for those two tours of or one or the other, you don't have to go on both. But for everything you need to know is available at spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com. I guess the June trip's a third full already. That's how popular these tours are with many of our listeners. So check those out, spiritualheritagetours.com, June and September. You're listening to American Family Radio. American Family Radio, we thank you for listening, and please continue to pray for our ministry as we reach people across the country with the truth about Jesus Christ and also about what's happening in our nation and how we as Christians can be engaged and involved in being part of the solution.
Amen.
To what's happening in our country. You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, we're to take a stand for righteousness.
Yes.
Not just personal righteousness. That should be our goal every day as a Christian, is to be closer to God. Mm-hmm. But also our responsibility as citizens on this earth.
That's right.
And in America, we have a privilege of being free to... impact our politics, our government, our society, and we want to maintain that freedom, and we want to continue to stand for the Lord and the things that He stands for. You know, I have a simple saying, Fred, people ask me when I travel sometimes, they say, well, what's the mission statement for American Family Association or American Family Radio? What's your mission statement? And we do have one. We have an official mission statement, which is good, mm-hmm. But I tell them, if you want to boil it down, whatever God's for, we're for, and whatever God's against, we're against. That's our mission statement.
Mm. There you go.
Yeah.
Amen. And how does God speak to us? To tell us what he's for and against?
Mm. In his word.
In his word, which is
amen.
Which is the Bible.
And he doesn't change.
No. No. God doesn't God does not change. Absolutely not. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Where is this FBI story?
Well, funny you should say. All right, so we've got the president's speech today on national security issues. We've got tax reform being voted on this week. And now, Andrew McCabe. I think many of our listeners may be familiar with that name. Deputy FBI Director. We talked about this last week, that maybe he had a meeting in his office with a couple of people who don't like President Trump very much, and they were coming up with a plan. Well, tomorrow, Andrew McCabe is going to go before a House committee, and I'm sure, unfortunately, you're not going to be able to see this on TV. It's behind closed doors.
Which I do not like.
I think that's detestable.
Yes.
You know, you got all these reports in the media out there about what's going on. And one of the guys who right now, quite frankly, high-level position in the FBI, deputy director, he's still in that position. And as we learned last week, a meeting in his office to discuss ways basically to discredit President Trump. But he's going to be questioned behind closed doors. I am hoping there are all kinds of leaks that come out of that hearing tomorrow so that we can find out what he has to say.
What would be the purpose of having this behind closed doors? Is there national security issues? Walker's laughing. You're laughing, Fred.
This is behind. Well,
is this to protect the Clintons and the Democrats?
Yes. It's behind closed doors, I believe, because Andrew McCabe's answers, if he is to answer the congressman's questions honestly, are not going to be very pleasant, to just say it nicely.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go behind closed doors, then I don't know, a few things get leaked. But the American people can't hear it for themselves. So,
yeah. Well, you've got so much going on right now. You've got, as I say, some of his colleagues meeting his office. This is, last September, October in that time?
It's in August.
August, in that time frame, they were getting worried about Donald Trump candidate actually winning the election. Two of the people who work for him, I can say this, absolutely hate it. Donald Trump's guts.
We're talking about high-level officials at the FBI during the campaign?
Yes.
That's what we're discovering now?
That's what we're discovering, thanks to emails and text messages that have been released by the Inspector General. Has been now investigating the Hillary Clinton email scandal.
So it appears these people were trying to cut the president and then the candidate off at the knees.
Exactly.
Yes.
They are Hillary Clinton fans.
Yeah, big time.
And there's still several of them in high-level positions at the FBI?
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, and the FBI should be a neutral.
Should be.
Traditionally.
It's been one of the most highly respected law enforcement agencies.
Well, let me ask you this.
Historically.
As I said last week, but these people, explain to me, these people aren't robots. They have opinions, just like
right.
We all do on politics. What's the difference, though, Walker?
Well, having an FBI agent, for example, or even a top leader at the FBI, maybe voting Republican or voting Democrat, there hasn't been much of an issue there. They're humans, like
right.
You said. They have their own opinion. Maybe they don't like the president. Maybe they do like the president's policies. But it's when you get on the job and you clock in at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
Are you carrying your voting booth mentality to your investigations?
And they were.
Yes. They were clearly carrying their political opinions, their political bias, which they can have. They were carrying that into the offices, and they were centering much of their work based on their political opinions, and even opening investigations, it looks like.
Which was against President Trump, then candidate Trump.
Right, yes. The goal that they even have admitted to in text messages is to take down President Trump. And
they got to go.
They didn't take down President Trump by going to vote in November. They're trying to take down President Trump by using their positions of power to take him down.
Is that what this whole congressional inquiry is about?
Yes,
which
that's
is
where
behind
it's leading
closed
to.
Doors.
Yeah, that's what it's leading to.
And the guy in the spotlight is Peter Strzok.
Yeah.
So he was high level in the FBI. He was one of the guys.
Right, we got
the text messages. He didn't want.
He also interfered in the. That's what you want to call it, in the investigation of Hillary Clinton. He's the one that changed James Comey's memo.
Yeah.
Or his press statement. We know he's a huge Hillary fan.
Yes.
And he's still there.
Yeah. Well, yes, they're both. They're all still there, and maybe in different positions, but they're all still there.
He's working well because Peter Strzok, along with being a real friend to Hillary Clinton, he ended up on Robert Mueller's team.
I tell you what, if the roles were reversed here, and this was if this were Republicans who had set out to oppose Hillary Clinton,
And
the Democrats found out all these text messages and everything, they would be epileptic.
Yeah. Well, you have maybe 10 or 15 prosecutors or lawyers on the Robert Mueller team, at least that I'm aware of. And it's not like there's slim pickings for lawyers and prosecutors in our country. That's one of the most sought after professions. And so, but he chose, Robert Mueller went out of his way to choose top Democrat donors and supporters to be the lawyers. He could have went to small town America and gotten good, reputable prosecutors that nobody's maybe heard of, but their resumes are stellar, and brought them into D.C. and ran
He chose a bunch of Washington lawyers who are Democratic donors and Hillary fans, and they're the ones who are supposed to be objectively investigating President Trump on the Russia collusion. Is that right?
Right. And it wasn't
a joke.
Done by
it's
accident.
Become a joke now.
Yeah.
It's an open joke. And Greg Jarrett, the Fox News, now he's Fox News conservative, I know, but he wrote an excellent piece on this.
Yeah. He said he even went as far to say that Attorney General Jeff Sessions needs to unrecuse himself, which would be historic, needs to unrecuse himself and basically take back control of this ship, which is way off course. And for Greg Jarrett to go that far and say that, I think tells a lot about where we are.
Well, President Trump said he has no plans to fire the special, is it called special prosecutor or special counsel?
Special counsel.
Special counsel.
So the special counsel, Robert Mueller, is that his name? And I think the president's saying this because he knows that this is going nowhere.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to prove collusion between, as I've said before, and I mean this with respectfully, President Trump wasn't smart enough to know how to collude with the Russians to affect the election. Can you imagine President Trump sitting down going, all right, now this all needs to be top secret now. Who's with me on this?
Right.
Now somebody here, Ivanka, can you keep your mouth shut?
Yeah.
Okay, Jared, you? All right, now, Kellyanne, I want you on the phone with Putin.
We're going to tamper with the voting
Vladimir Putin. Right? And you ask him, can we get their hackers involved in Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania? Those three states. Now, if we start expanding out too far, we're going to get caught. But we need to have some votes flipped if we need them. Kellyanne, are you on that? Are we all in this together? Now, let's three musketeers it right now, okay? I mean, this is just, I know people say I'm mocking it, but this is short of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
To me, this is just all a witch hunt, a fishing expedition just to drag on and bog down the administration. Yeah. Take up time on the news and make people think that President Trump won unfairly.
And as time tells, to that point, President Trump seems to always be vindicated, doesn't he?
That's right.
That's because he didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
That's
right. And even in the past, people make these false allegations against him, no matter what it has to do with. And over time, the truth comes out. And remember, he said that Trump Tower was wiretapped. And everybody was like, no, nobody wiretaps, blah, blah, blah. You're crazy. You're a little conspiracy theorist. Trump Tower was wiretapped, literally wiretapped.
Yeah.
And so he
was
vindicated.
So he wasn't crazy on that.
No, he knew what was going on. But to that point, I believe over time, and we talked about this off the break, that this investigation will probably come to an end. A few minor charges of which had nothing to do with the actual investigation.
That's right.
And President Trump, Robert Mueller and his entire team will be laughed at for the rest of history because they did all this and they couldn't find anything.
Speaking of laughable, though, on the weekend, President Barack Obama's former ethics chief, White House ethics chief.
He had one?
Yeah, he had one. Okay. Walter Shaub, Shaub.
Okay.
He tweeted out there, a warning to President Trump. If you fire Robert Mueller, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to read this. This is what Walter Shaub put out there. Now, he's an ethics official with the Obama administration. This weekend, I'm stocking up on portable phone chargers, warm clothes, and gear needed for when we take the streets. I'm concerned the assault on the rule of law is coming over the holidays when we're distracted. It'll be a defining moment for the Republic.
Uh-huh. This is Obama's ethics guy?
Yeah. He's talking about going to the streets and we need supplies.
It's part of the resistance.
Part of the resistance. Former Attorney General Eric Holder.
Yeah.
Talking in much the same vein. These people are off the rails.
Yeah.
They really are.
Yeah. They have literal hate for President Trump. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's genuine. By the way, we're watching video of this Amtrak train that derailed in North Carolina.
I'm seeing the picture now. That's
in the state of Washington.
State of Washington. This is near Seattle.
That's
Walker
bad
mentioned.
Looking, Fred.
But this is a train bridge over the I-5, Interstate 5. And so what has happened, some cars have come off of that train bridge. We don't know why yet, but they're sitting down on the I-5.
Not cars as in automobiles.
No, train cars.
Train cars.
Yeah.
Have fallen off that bridge, and they're down on the Interstate 5.
Yeah, that looks really bad.
That's a mess.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I was shocked to see that KISS... guitarist Gene Simmons was accused of groping a woman.
Rock stars aren't known for that kind of behavior, are they?
Did you know this goes on in the world of rock and roll? This kind of thing?
I'm just finding out, Tim. Yeah, you're just informing the world. Never would expect it.
But anyway, I don't know. We'll see if there's any... you know, the sports stars and the rock stars, I would say groping... And women would probably be 75% of them, if I had to just guess, although I've never done a survey.
No.
I'm talking about...
It's the culture.
It's the culture. And, you know, they got to be wondering, these guys got to be wondering, man, I got 30 years of doing this. How many people are going to come forth now, and me too,
right,
and sue me?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just saw that in the news. And when you see that a rock star is accused of groping a woman... you know, that's
not surprising.
Not surprising.
No.
All right. We shall take a break right now. Thank you, Fritz Jackson.
Hi. Good to be with you.
For your contributions.
You betcha.
The last hour. Steve Jordahl is on deck now to come to the plate. He'll come to the plate next as we continue with our Today's Issues program. We've got another half hour here on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. And we're going to take a break now for our five-minute newscast, and then we'll be back with more of Today's Issues right here on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.